Again, thank you. Now, when David asked me to come here, and actually, thank you very much for asking me to come here. This is the second time. Not here, but here with David. I don't think there's going to be a third. Not because I won't come, but I don't think he'll have me back. Being Church of Ireland, I don't know how the Presbyterian do things. As I said in his email that he sent me, is I'll just do the announcements, you do the rest, and I thought you're brave. So, here we go. Mark chapter 4. Source of the seed. The overriding thought of what I've been hearing and listening to tonight and the things that have been sung is God loves me. Now I know he loves you too. I know he loves you all. But I was getting God loves me. And hopefully you got exactly the same thing. Because believe it or not, many, many people don't get that. What we do get is, I have to love God. That's wrong. You don't. And some people actually go out of their way to love God and to show him that they love him, hoping that when he knows and realizes how much they love him, he'll accept them. And if that's what you think, you missed the point. Because that's wrong. God loves me. And the best of it is God loved me when I couldn't give a monkey's about him. Now, as I hadn't prepared that, but I can't quote you chapter and verse where it talks about that. But it's in there. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me and for you. When I was a sinner. And like, actually, if you want to get technical, and the other thing that I meant to say before I started on this, but here we go. As David said, because it's a Sunday evening and it's Presbyterian, there's no time limit. And I took a look at the time and I saw we've been here for an hour already. And things do tend to go on longer because there's choirs and things like that and other bits going on. So that's the apology, all right. But God loves me. That's what's been sung. And as I said, to get technical on it, Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago, long before I was a twinkle. So it's all about him and what he has done. It's not about what we do. It's about what he has done. Now, am I saying that we're not supposed to love God? No, of course you are. But you love God because he loves you. And if you get it that way round, everything after that is easy. The problem is, some of you will have heard what I have just said, and you'll continue to love God to try and get him to love you. because it'll have gone in here. It will not have stopped and passed, going and gone straight on out the other side. Because that is what I want to talk about tonight. Sorry, that is what God wants me to talk about tonight. Because this actually was the preamble to the other reading that I wanted to do. And it was sort of partway through the service and God just spoke to my heart. And he says, nah, that's not what you're preaching on, Alan. You're preaching on this. Mark chapter 4. So or sow the seed. There's four types of soil. And all four types of soil are sitting here. Or standing here. Because I'm included. And the soil is talking about your heart. That includes you down there saying I'm not looking at you. All right. Just checking. And believe it or not, those four types of soil also include the children that have been here and have gone. Because they've already had the opportunity of being one of those types of soil. And that includes their teachers of being one of those types of soil. Because depending on which type of soil you are, and yes, every single one of those types is in here. Because that's what the Bible talks about. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And when Jesus said it, he was speaking in love. And in verse 13 of chapter 4, Jesus said to them, talking about the disciples, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And I tried reading it with feeling earlier on. And in a very real way, he was sort of looking at them going, duh. That's why they were called disciples. No, but that's a modern day turn on it. I'm sure there's many times, if he was today and with the disciples, he'd be going all the time, duh. Like, when are they ever going to get it? The disciples... He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" Like, hello? Again, 21st century. "How then will you understand all the parables?" And as I said, my plan had been going on to read another parable, which is where I thought it was going. But this is the crux. If you don't understand this parable, you haven't a clue about what I say or David says or anybody up here is saying. And sad to say, hopefully there's only one or two in here that are like that. And sad to say, those are the people that the seed falls on the ground and the devil just comes along in the form of a bird in the story and just takes it out of their heart. Because it doesn't take root. That's the first type of soil. Jesus said, verse 14, "The sower sows the word." And right now, I'm the sower. And this is always the word. And I've been sowing the word. And the word has been sown tonight in the songs. And the beautiful way that things have been sung. And even whenever you were taking part in the actions and singing along with the children, there were some people that were going absolutely doolally. "Who does he think he is getting up here putting their hands in the air? I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to put my hands in the air." Because some of you didn't. "That goes against my religion." Well, then die. Get over it. And again, you're not allowed to say things like that. Who do you think you are? It just depends on who your God is. I know who my God is, and I don't always do what he wants me to do. Because most of us, unfortunately, are like the rest of us. And we're not perfect. He is. Praise God, he's perfect. Praise God, Jesus is the best thing since sliced bread. Sorry. Jesus is the one that's perfect. I'm not. But he is. And I'll do the best that I can till my dying breath to do what he wants me to do. And that's where we all should be. Sower sowed seed. And Jesus said in verse 14, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's what happens. That's the explanation to the bit that, as it happened, verse 4, he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. So, verse 15 explains verse 4. And hopefully there's not too many in here like that. And he goes through the different parts. Because there's some people here, and in a sense, it's not right. But in a sense, it's like the children. And I could get excited here and there. The people going, yay, brilliant, woo, we're loving this, this is fantastic. We get used to watching people like that. Because our job is to work out, is that real? And yes, that sounds judgmental. But then that's the position that God has put us into. And I don't mean the Presbyterian Church and the Church of Ireland Church. I mean that's the position that God has put us into. Because we have a responsibility to look after his sheep and to help his sheep to grow. And we have to have the wisdom to realize that not all those who claim to be sheep go baa. Because some of them will eat you alive as quick as look at you. And believe it or not, some of those that will eat you alive are the ones that are really, yeah, 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 at the beginning. Because they haven't taken the time to get into this. Now, I know some of you are visitors. So I'm not talking to the visitors. Unless, of course, then visitors come as well. But I could ask for a show of hands. Which, if I did it in my church, you'd look just like this. Because they don't like putting their hands up in church. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because you probably proved me wrong and stick your hand up, all right? But how many of you here that are normally here will be at the Bible study? Because there's only so much of what I say and what you hear from me that you can actually take in. And as good as this is, and as important as this is not as in right now where you get to know what this is about. Because where you get to know what this is about is in the like of a Bible study, when it's more in a one-to-one. When it's more an opportunity where if you disagree, you can get up and say something. Now, by the way, if you disagree, get up and say something. I don't mind. I'll do my best to answer you, or I'll refer you back to David. No, you're more than welcome to get up and disagree, but we don't do that in church. I'd love it if somebody got up and said, I don't agree with you. I'll go, great. What's the problem? Let's see what the Bible says. Because that's how you learn. That's how you get to understand what this is saying. Because you get to and fro. And what that's talking about in that particular the second lot, is that they don't get into the Word. They don't develop a root system. And again, I wish in a sense I still had the children here, but maybe if I talk to the older children. But then, of course, we're all children in the eyes of God. So I'll look around, see what ages we got here. Anyway, remember when you went to school? For some of you, that's a long time ago. Remember when you went to school, and especially in science, where the teacher, well, actually, maybe not in science, you probably did this in primary school, come to think of it, where the teacher got a pot. Now it's probably polystyrene, but then that's probably not good for the environment. Do you know what they use now? Anyway, you got a pot, and you put soil in it, and you got a seed, and you put the seed in the soil, and then you put it in the cupboard. All right? And most of us, like the rest of us, couldn't leave ours alone because we wanted to look to see how it was doing, where's it doing, what's, how's it going, how's it going, how's it going, how's it going. And you kept checking on it, and your teacher kept going, leave it alone, don't touch it. Remember doing that? Or am I the only one who remembers doing that? And the thing is, you had to put soil, you had to leave it time. Because what was happening was the seed was germinating. And most of the growth that goes on with the seed is underground. It's not seen. It's not obvious. And there were some people in my class that came and they dug it up to find out how it was doing. And theirs died. Because they couldn't leave it alone to do what it does. And the reason why that's difficult for us as people, I'm talking specifically about Christians and good church people, not necessarily interchangeable, those two terms, but I'll use them, is that we want to be seen. People want to see the growth. People want to see that so-and-so's changed. So-and-so made a confession for Jesus. Really? You sure? They don't look like they've changed. Definitely sure. And then people start talking. So the person now feels under pressure to perform. Start turning up at church regularly. Start going to things regularly. Start maybe joining the choir. And the reason why they're there or they're here is because of the pressure, not because of him. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And Jesus said, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Where is he? Where is she? You said that they, you told us that they, where are they now? They seem so eager and enthusiastic. Where are they now? Now that is as much against us as it is against them, because sometimes we can set the bar too high for people to reach. But God doesn't have a bar. Why? Because God loves me. And God loved me before I loved him. Why all of a sudden is God going to love me less because I now love him? Like, that just doesn't make sense. If he loved me when it was a waste of time and a waste of space, surely he's going to love me because I love him. And I might get it wrong. Oh, but you can't get it wrong because, you know, you said. Here, guess what? I got it wrong big time before I loved him. And he loved me. So why is it all of a sudden that now I'm, that when I get it wrong, he's going to love me less? No, I'm sorry, I can't work that one out. And yet many of us are guilty of doing that. Did you see what he did? And he's supposed to be a Christian. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we have been saved by works, hard labour, sweat, toil, loving God loads. Not done. It says that we have been saved by grace. And not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. But of course, none of us think like that. Verse 7. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And verse 18, Jesus says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Paul said it like this, this one thing I do. Now, this is where I'm on dangerous ground because I'm going to become sexist. Some people claim to be very good at multitasking, and it's not men, all right? That's the polite way. Multitasking is not biblical. Now, obviously, there are things that you need to be able to juggle. And women are definitely a whole lot better at that than men. Definitely. God knew what he was doing when he let you have the children. Because there's just no way. Any bit of pain and we're gone, you know. But as far as the things of God are concerned, as Paul said, this one thing I do, setting aside all the other things, I strive towards the goal, the prize that is set before me. Too often we get distracted. We do a number of things. And this stops being the focus. As I said, referring to the Bible study, about getting into the Word, about reading it, about talking about it, about being around people and with it, And yes, we've heard a bit this evening, and we can do some of that, but it's getting into this and talking with people about this and sharing and having some going and toing and froing with other people as you toss the different ideas around. But ultimately is being open to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to lead us into all truth. John 16. Because Jesus said, I must go. So that the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, He will come and He will lead you into all truth. And so when we meet around together and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and talking together, it comes alive. Yeah. But when we get our focus off, oh, right, but I've just got to do this here. Oh, right, but so many irons in the fire. All the different phrases we're familiar with. And then finally, verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And Jesus said, verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Basically exactly the same, because believe it or not, the last soil is the easiest one to recognize. The last soil is the easiest one to explain. And yet, even within that, in the last soil, some will produce 30-fold, some will produce 60, some will produce 100-fold. There's even difference in the last soil. But the last soil will bear a harvest, which is what we're here for, harvest thanksgiving. And it may be harvest thanksgiving for the fruit and the produce of the land is what our thoughts really are about. But as I said, the singing and the things that I've already listened to this evening have been beautiful. God loves me. He's interested in me. And He wants a harvest in and through my life. And that includes obviously you. Because hopefully as I'm talking about me, you're thinking exactly the same thing. God loves me. And if you're sitting there thinking, but you don't know what I've done, then you've missed the point. Because He loved you before you did anything. He loved you before you were even looking. God loves me. And if that doesn't put a smile on your face, then, you know, somebody can bring out a duvet, all right? We're already asleep. God loves me. Wow. Almighty God loves me. And He's done all of this for me. Jesus went to the cross for me. That's brilliant. I've got to find out what that means. I want to find out more. And to be honest, that's my testimony, because whenever I get saved, which will be 40 years in January next year, 40 years ago, I got into this and I was reading cover to cover, which is not the best way to read the Bible, because it's not all chronological. But I started in Genesis 1:1 and I read until I got to the end. And when I finished, I did it again. And I think over the space of about 3 years, I probably read the Bible cover to cover about 10 times, because I wanted to know Him. And you want to know the sad thing? I grew up in the church all my life. And yet I came to faith when I was 18, just before my 19th birthday. I was baptized as a Methodist. Confirmed Church of Ireland. Sang in the cathedral choir in Armagh from the age of 8. Sang my father's choirs after that. I was to church sometimes 3 times on a Sunday. And yet if I had died, I was going straight to hell. Because I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. I knew he was the Savior of the world because I sang about him. And was stood up and confessed and professed along with all the other Church of Ireland people about I believe in God the Father. But I didn't know him. And so I had to get into this. I wanted to know, I wanted to read, I wanted to understand. And he heard my desire. Because 3 years later, in October of 1983, because it was 1980, I could say it. 3 years later, in 1983, he started speaking to me and saying, Alan, I want you to become a minister. I thought, you're having a laugh. Go pick on some other agent. But he heard my heart, he heard my desire, he heard that I'd got into this, the Word, because the Word is Jesus. Because it was good soil. And he wanted to see a harvest come forth. And that's exactly what he wants with you. And yet, there's four types of soil in here. Because the four types of soil that it's talking about is your heart. Because some of you, unfortunately, have hardened hearts to God. And it's not that you can't hear, you won't hear. And you've turned off. And then there's some of you that did get excited. And maybe are excited right now. But there's no depth. And if you're here, please, please, please get into this. Read it. It's a bit like taking a knife and fork to it. Eat the thing. Actually, I'd tell you to rip the pages out and eat it if I thought that would get into you better. Then you'd have to read it, buy a new Bible to read it. But get it into you. And then there's still other people that are excited about God and are reading it, but there's these other things. And the sad fact is of what this parable is talking about is soil 1, soil 2, and soil 3 produce nil harvest. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. That could be as much as 3/4 of this church. Because it's only soil 4 that produces a harvest. It's only soil 4 that are absolutely on fire for God. Now you may not be running the aisles, you may not be jumping up and down, you may be reluctant to stick your hands in the air whenever the kids are up and doing this here. Because you've already established in your heart, I don't need to do that. Because you're secure in who you are in him. And you don't have to put your hands up. You don't have to do what this mad raving Church of Ireland man's trying to get us to do in the Presbyterian Church. Because you're content and secure in who you are. And I go, praise the Lord for it. So some people I know have just gone, that's okay, I'm fine. I thought I was getting criticized earlier. But it's that fourth lot of soil that are on fire for God that get into the Word, and you will produce a harvest. You will produce a harvest. And I just want to encourage you to open your hearts to hear and receive from him. Let's pray.